Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 27th. Here's the mission of the two guests that we will hear from in this half hour of the program this morning. They want to allow licensed individuals, including college students, to carry concealed firearms on college campuses for self-defense purposes. Is this a good idea or not? We will wonder what you think and take your questions for our guests, who include the president and owner of an internet-based firearms business that sold guns and accessories to the shooters in the Virginia Tech and Northern Illinois University shootings, where on two separate occasions in the recent past, two disturbed individuals opened fire on their classmates before killing themselves. Would a law-abiding, licensed, and trained armed student have prevented the massacres? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Eric Thompson is president and owner of TGS.com Incorporated, an internet sporting goods and firearms retailer based in Green Bay. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
How do you say the name of your company? Is it TGS.com?
TGS.com, yes.
Okay. So how did you get involved in this issue?
I got involved in this issue after we were informed that we sold some accessories to the shooter at NIU. And I figured that we would get a lot of negative press, and it has come that way. So with the opportunity presented me, I thought I would try and make some good of this. And I especially liked the presentation from the Students for Concealed Carry on Campus, and I contacted them and asked them if I could help in any way.
Yeah. So do you feel guilty about learning that that your company sold guns and supplies to these two shooters?
Well, of course, any rational person would, feel empathy with the parents and brothers and sisters that lost people there. As far as, as a federally licensed gun dealer, I have a responsibility to follow federal law and state law, and we did that. And to be quite honest, these two students should not have been able to purchase firearms because the laws were in place. And if the federal databases spoke with the state databases, they would have been prevented from legally obtaining weapons.
Yeah. So why try to overturn laws that prevent college students from arming themselves?
Well, I think it's twofold. The benefits from having concealed carry are numerous. They've been in every state that that concealed carry has been implemented. The violent crime rates have gone down, and it offers a two ways of protection. Number one, for the individual, if somebody has a means of being able to protect themselves against a psychotic murderer, they should be able to do it. There shouldn't be a policy in place that says, no, you can't protect yourself, and that's unfortunately the case right now. The second method that this would be helpful is that the anonymity of somebody carrying a weapon provides a blanket of security to everybody. A criminal would say, okay, I don't know who's carrying a weapon. FBI interviews with 18,000 federal inmates that have obtained guns said that the one thing that they're most fearful of is an armed populace. Rather than police officers or anything else, they're fearful of the public being armed. And I think that somebody with the potential of even being armed adds a deterrent to somebody coming in to commit a crime.
Yeah. It says in my material that Utah is the only state that allows college kids to carry concealed weapons. Is that your understanding?
Currently correct, yes. There's fortunately many other states that are considering this at this point, though.
Of course, Wisconsin doesn't allow anyone to carry concealed weapons, so there's a double hurdle here.
That's correct. It's unfortunate because with all the statistics just show how effective it is in reducing crime, I really think that the politicians and the legislators have an absolute duty to inform the citizens that it is a lifesaver. People's lives are saved by implementing it. It's been proven time and time and time again. And unfortunately, gun control advocates, their arguments have been proven null and void time and time again. So I think that they're really doing a disservice and, in fact, costing lives by not implementing concealed carry and allowing the public to protect themselves.
Yeah. The critics, though, of concealed carry, at least in Wisconsin, are saying, hey, the crime rate would have gone down in all those other states, even if it doesn't have anything to do with concealed carry.
But the crime rates go down much greater in states that have concealed carry. I mean, that's been proven time and time again.
Yeah. Tell us about this protest that's coming up in April that you're involved in.
Well, I'm not really involved with I'm not a member. I'm a little bit too old for that. And
but you're going to be providing empty holsters for it.
I've asked my customers and the industry at large to donate holsters that they may have laying around to these students because I think it's a worthwhile cause. And mm-hmm. and we've received several and more coming in every day. So I look forward to being able to provide those to the students at sometime in the near future.
We're going to check our weather forecast, continue talking with Eric Thompson, and welcome in a student from Marquette University who has formed a chapter of Students for Concealed Carry on campus. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 27th. We are talking in this segment of the program with Eric Thompson, who owns a web-based firearms retail business in Green Bay that sold guns and ammo to the two shooters involved in the mass shootings, mass killings at two college campuses. He's getting involved in an effort to put laws in place that allow or overturn laws on the books that prevent trained and licensed college students from arming themselves on campus, all for the purpose of self-defense or for preventing tragedies like this in the future. Do you agree with this or not? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will also welcome in now a student at Marquette University in Wisconsin who formed a chapter of Students for Concealed Carry on campus. Mike Nabusky is a senior at Marquette studying history, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us.
So, no problem.
What prompted you to get involved in this issue?
It was something I sort of grew up with. My grandfather had a license to carry, and so did my dad. And I grew up hunting and fishing, so it was kind of always around. And I sort of didn't know otherwise for a long time. Not that they did every day, but it was certainly, there, and I was aware of it. And then, as I got older and, I came to Marquette and I became closer to 21, I sort of started researching it and things. And then when the things at Virginia Tech happened and whatnot, I had sort of stumbled upon the group and, through, my involvements in my personal research and on the topic and looking to get my license and things, I empathized with the group and joined it.
Yeah. So you generally felt this way that concealed carry laws were the way to go even before the shootings at Virginia Tech in Northern Illinois?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Were you, afraid after you heard of those shootings?
A little bit. I've sort of always had that sort of keen ability that, things can happen to me. It's sort of the general public is always like, oh, those things can't happen to me. They're sort of not aware of it, but I always have been. So, I kind of always like to be prepared. So that's part of why I was always looking into it.
Yeah. Do you really believe that if you were allowed to carry a concealed weapon to your classes, say at Marquette, that would prevent something like what happened in Virginia or Illinois from happening here?
I really do. I think it certainly could have that in the back of people's minds, particularly sort of those young people that do think that they can sort of take advantage of the fact that the college students are unarmed and attack them because they are defenseless and response times aren't that good because it's usually like it has been very quick strikes and then they take their own life and it's over and even if it doesn't prevent it, it'll stop it a lot earlier than say the 30 or so people at Virginia Tech. It could have stopped much earlier than that.
Yeah, tell us how big your group is at Marquette.
Well, it's sort of hard to get a grasp on it. We're sort of not an official group, but it's fairly large. The people that I've talked to about it, particularly recently, have been sort of growing and growing. I talked to a lot of sort of media outlets this past week, and I wasn't planning on doing the protest and things. I have sort of a lot on my plate right now with graduating and different things. But the more and more people I talk to, the more and more people I'm finding want to do it. So I'm sort of reevaluating right now and sort of determining if I'm going to do it. I'm probably going to just sit down with a few key people and talk about it and decide if we're going to do it. So I would say anywhere between 20 and 50 to sort of just throw out a number. But like I said, it's hard because it's not an official organization.
Yeah. It says, I'm looking through this material I have, and it says that this Students for Concealed Carry on Campus is, national chapters all over the country, mm-hmm. will be planning an April protest, but it doesn't say exactly when. Do you know when this is going to be?
It's late April. I want to say it's like mm-hmm. the 27th through 30th or 25th through 27th. I'm blanking on the
yeah.
number.
Yeah, all right. Well, maybe I will look a little bit more. For some reason, it's not clear as to when it is. But late April, and the point is that people would, walk around with empty holsters on to protest the fact that they can't have concealed weapons?
Yeah, that and sort of to raise awareness about the topic. The typical college student certainly isn't sort of aware of it and things like that.
Yeah. Let me take a call for both of you. Dan in Wanakee. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Hi there. I just wanted to make the point that the average citizen is not trained to return fire when fired upon. That takes extensive training, either within the police force or in the military. So really what you got is a cost-benefit, and the cost would be creating a wild, wild west where people were armed and people might show their guns and to potentially intimidate people. And the benefit would be that maybe if there was a shooter, that you'd have somebody who was armed, who was trained to return fire. And I think that those odds are extremely small. Typically, these people are psychopaths that wouldn't consider if anybody was armed anyway. So I guess I disagree with the idea.
Yeah. Eric Thompson, you want to react to that sentiment first?
Certainly. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the universal anti-proposal with any state that's ever considered concealed carry. And the statistics do not show that that's the case. We have 48 states at some level, and some of them better than others, that have implemented concealed carry successfully. And that sentiment is just unfounded. The facts do not prove that. This is where it kind of upsets me, because there's a lack of education here. We implement gun control laws, and those prove time and time again to not work, whereas concealed carry laws and open carry laws prove to work. The statistics are there to show it, and those fears are completely unfounded.
Yeah. What about those specifically that, that there's not maybe adequate training under these concealed carry laws?
Well, I moved from Arizona where there was concealed carry. I would venture to say that people that do conceal carry, actually, they pass the courses that are necessary in Arizona. It was 16 hours of training, which is a lot. I give all the credit to police officers in the world, but it's very similar to police officer training. And then, for the most part, people
consider this as a responsibility and a duty. So they train. It's not like they just pass the course and don't do it. There's also, recertification at certain levels in many states as well. So people do have to keep up with their skills, and the better you are, it's a sport after all. It's not about just self-defense. So people do keep up with their shooting skills, and I don't believe that those statistics are very accurate at all.
Mike, do you have some comments?
Sure. I sort of agree with Eric in a lot of his sentiments. For me, in my processes in trying to obtain licenses, I had to go through training. Most states require that you have some sort of firearms training. Many require that you take an NRA handgun course on dealing with handguns and shooting handguns and learning that. And almost everyone that I've encountered and dealt with in the community that carries concealed weapons firmly believes in getting as much training as you possibly can, going to different seminars whenever they come up. Sort of educating yourself more and learning different things. The people that are going to exercise this right are the ones that are passionate about it. You sort of have to remember that this is sort of an expensive right to exercise. So the people that are going to partake in it are going to be serious about it. This is, several hundreds, if not to thousands of dollars worth of an investment. And
There's an email from Dan in Rice Lake, and I want to quickly, okay. Since we're close to news time here, and he would be in favor of concealed carry on university campuses if alcohol was banned until age 25. I think making the point that college students are known for imbibing, and that might make things worse on a college campus. How about that first, Mike?
Okay. This sort of ties into, what the caller had talked about of people brandishing their weapons and sort of threatening people. I think, like I said, the people that are going to exercise this right are serious about it, and they're going to follow the laws. And, in many states, it's similar to driving, 0.08 or under, but also many states are you must have no alcohol in your system. You can't even go into the bar area at, say, a Chili's if you're carrying a concealed weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people would exercise that. For me, I was always taught, if I was carrying a concealed weapon, it doesn't come out unless I'm legitimately going to use it to protect myself or my family, not to sort of threaten people or brandish it. Eric talked about Utah and the laws in place there, and there's certainly been no instances of people, college students getting drunk and threatening other students, with their legal handguns and things like that.
Last word from you, Eric Thompson.
Yes, on that topic, I feel it's extremely condescending to paint college students in that light. Concealed carry, people that have concealed carry license are among the most law-abiding citizens that there are, well and above the general population. And we expect our college students to become doctors and lawyers and to fly fighter jets and to become police officers and all sorts of other jobs where they protect themselves. And to paint them in the light where they're just a bunch of drunken idiots, I think it's just extremely condescending, and it just doesn't fit the profile at all.
We'll leave it there. Thanks, Eric Thompson, for being with us.
Thank you.
And thanks to Mike Nabusky, too. Thanks very much. We will check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll get another perspective on this issue after the news. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll continue talking about this question of whether college students should be allowed to carry concealed weapons, something proponents say could prevent, or at least prevent, larger-scale mass shootings at college campuses, as we saw at Virginia Tech and Northern Illinois University in the recent past. We heard in our last half hour from a student at Marquette University who has formed a chapter of a national group, Students for Concealed Carry on Campus. There are also chapters at Lawrence University in Appleton and the Madison Area Technical College. This student from Marquette said that trained, law-abiding, licensed college students should be able to arm themselves in self-defense and for the defense of others. We also heard from the Green Bay internet retailer who sold guns and ammo, and supplies to the two shooters who were involved in those mass shootings in Virginia and Illinois. He's joining the effort to overturn laws that prevent students from carrying weapons for the purpose of self-defense. He's going to be supplying empty holsters to participants in a protest that is planned for next month, the week of April the 21st through the 25th. And we also heard from some callers and emailers who weighed in on this issue, and we will continue to invite your participation, your calls, your reactions, your questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org as we talk with our next guest, Stan Stojkovic, the Dean of the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UW-Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you make of this movement for students to carry concealed weapons on campus?
Well, I'm not sure that this really leads toward anything productive. You know, I sat on the governor's task force last year on campus safety. I currently chair a committee at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee looking at campus security, listening to literally dozens and dozens of citizens, as well as faculty, staff, students, and visitors. Nobody has ever, ever suggested carrying concealed will do anything to a college campus except potentially increase harm. So I don't see any direct benefit in the long run to allowing something like this to occur.
Yeah, talk about some of the statistics that were thrown around, very general statistics, in our last half hour, that the states that allow concealed carry have their crime rates go down because there is some sort of preventive effect of these laws.
Well, the National Academy of Sciences has evaluated that statement over the last 10 years. And there is really no systematic evidence to suggest that that's really true. It's depending upon the study, depending upon how you actually conceptualize the study, affects the outcome. But there's really no clear relationship between carry concealed and reduction in crime. Particularly, there's nothing that I'm aware of that talks about it in the context of college campuses.
Yeah.
So it's a highly ambiguous, at best, assertion that increased carry concealed led to decrease in criminal activity. I think it's a fallacious argument. At best, it's a hopeful argument. There's really no systematic scientific evidence that supports that claim.
Yeah. Is there any scientific evidence that supports the claim of the critics of these laws who say that this could lead to, you know, Wild West shootouts?
None of that either. So on the other side of the equation is as a result. But I think that the context is really not a scientific question. I think it's a question about the quality of life on our college campuses. Now remember, the debate is not carry concealed, because 46 states out of 50 do allow that in a general sense.
Right.
But nobody allows, that I'm aware of, carrying these weapons concealed on college campuses.
Yeah. The only state mentioned in the material and from our guests in the last half hour, Utah does allow, apparently, according to what I've been reading, college students to be armed like this.
Well, it may, and in fact, my understanding was that there wasn't, but I'll accept that as the reality, but it really, that's not the issue. The issue is, what is it that the college campus and climate of the college campus that you're trying to pursue? Clearly, if you talk to law enforcement professionals in these college campuses or on these college campuses, they'll tell you this will only exacerbate the situation, fuel a potential fire, and all the attendant problems associated with it.
Why do they say that? Why do they say this would exacerbate the situation?
Well, many cases, the issue of training. What kind of training do people have? Accidents. Situations in which we can't identify these people if there was a potential shooter situation. If we have a situation on a campus where there's an active shooter, we have trained law enforcement across the state on how to respond in active shooter situations and scenarios, tabletop exercises. This compounds that situation if we don't know who has the right to have a weapon, who is discharging a weapon. By allowing this, having more people, in a legal sense, to condone this, I think you change that potential dynamic. Now, we must remember the actual occurrence of these events, while recently have been pressed upon us, these are very rare events on college campuses.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about also the quality of what happens when you introduce a concealed weapon. Because once people know that somebody has a gun, now it's potentially concealed and no one's supposed to know that, but people do find out. You change the nature of relationships in a social interaction. And a college campus is a place where you have to have free exchange, free ideas. Nobody is suggesting, nor am I, that allowing someone to carry a concealed weapon will stymie thought or freedom of expression on a college campus, but it changes the nature of relationships on college campuses that I don't think you want. You know, the legislature here in Wisconsin, in its infinite wisdom, and many other legislatures, across the country have seen the poor policy implications and bad effects associated with allowing people to carry weapons on campus concealed. It makes the situation, I think, overall just not a good situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to the phones. Victor in Milwaukee joins us. Hi, Victor.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guests. I have some major problems with arming college students. One, from a legal standpoint, accidents can and do happen. And students do drink. I used to work security guard around college campuses, and I see how irresponsible some of them are. Not all of them, but that few amount that is irresponsible, has a firearm, think it's a toy or something to show around, and they get drunk, it can cause a lot of carnage. The other problem I have is, are they willing to handle the legal implications? They shoot somebody accidentally, or if it is a criminal, they shoot. That criminal, like him or not, has rights to, and his family's going to come in. Who are they going to sue, the student or the college campus? You got to have liability insurance for those firearms along with the training. Mm-hmm. So I have some major problems with this.
Yeah. What do you think of his concerns, Dean Strykovich?
Well, I think that is a concern. I think liability issues of accidents are a big issue. I think it just throws gasoline on a very volatile, potentially volatile situation. And I don't see any benefit associated with it. I think it's somewhat comical and even a fantasy to suggest that by having more students with weapons that they'll be able to protect the campus. That is not the job of the students. That job is left to university security and university police. So I think the caller has some legitimate points.
We are talking with Stan Strykovich, Dean of the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UW-Milwaukee, about a movement that's underfoot, some college students forming chapters of Students for Concealed Carry on Campus. They are planning a national protest next month to oppose campus gun-free zones, saying that students should be able to arm themselves to protect themselves, especially in the wake of those mass shootings in Virginia and Illinois. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your thoughts and questions in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 14 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 27th. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we will talk with a guest who says it looks as though the Democratic Party is on a path of onto self-destruction. We'll talk more about that coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with Stan Strykovich, who is dean at the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UW-Milwaukee, talking with us about proposals, a movement to arm college students. Some college students want to be able to carry concealed weapons on college campuses across the nation, including a few here in Wisconsin. Marquette, Lawrence, and MATC in Madison have chapters of Students for Concealed Carry on Campus. A Green Bay internet dealer who sold the guns used in the Virginia Tech and Northern Illinois shootings has joined the effort. We heard from Eric Thompson in our last half hour. We also heard from one of these students from Marquette who has formed one of these chapters. Now our guest is saying that there is this would do more harm than good, arming college students. Lance in Fenimore is with us next. Hi, Lance. You're on the air.
Yes, I am a student at University of Wisconsin-Platteville. It's my fourth year. It's my first time calling in, actually. I enjoy your show, Joy.
Well, thank you
very much.
Thank you for calling.
I just had a few comments on it. Right now I'm kind of in the bubble. I grew up hunting and fishing and all that, so I'm experienced guns and stuff like that. But however, I'm just not 100% sure if implementing stuff like this, like a law that would allow you to carry a concealed weapon, would exactly help the situation with all this stuff. With the incidents at Virginia Tech and all that, you know, what are the chances of the person carrying the gun is actually going to be in that hall where those incidents are occurring? What's also stopping the inexperienced gun owner to buy a gun and use it unwisely or something like that? I just think that it's also going to be another safety concern with just everything with students and stuff like that.
So you're saying, Lance, you would feel more anxious or nervous with the students around you carrying concealed weapons than you do with them not carrying concealed weapons.
Exactly. Yeah. Very, very much so.
Yeah. Dean Strykovich?
Well, I think I can understand that concern. I'm glad to hear from a fellow UW-Platteville graduate.
I didn't know that.
I went to school there as well.
And you both seem to have little colds going on, too.
Yes, I do, and I apologize for that.
No, that's okay.
I do think that what people need to ask is, what's the reasonable alternative? If carry concealed doesn't seem to make sense on a college campus, what is the alternative? Well, we have student organizations and student volunteers who work with our campus police, who are out in the community around the campus, who interact with students. And student involvement at that level is very productive. So when people say, well, geez, what am I supposed to do if I can't carry a weapon on campus legally, what can I do? There's all sorts of ways that you can assist and help the law enforcement community on the campus and around the campus to make it a safe place. And all you have to do is inquire. I think the efforts should be directed toward those initiatives as opposed to something like this that really will not make the situation any better.
Yeah. Thanks, Lance, for the call. And we go next to Larry in Sparta. Hi, Larry.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
And thanks for taking my call. I have more of a comment than a question. I went to college, and at my job, before 9/11, I was not required to carry a weapon, and I'm not really a big fan of carrying weapons for using on people. I do hunt and fish, but when I was issued a weapon that I was required to carry after 9/11 and still have to carry to this day, I was asked one critical question, which has since actually come up, which is, anyone that carries a weapon must be prepared to take a human life. There's a lot of times watching television where Hollywood makes it look like if you pull out a gun and point it at somebody, they'll do whatever you want, and that's just not the case. I think the thought of arming people in a college environment when they haven't matured yet, and many of them have never had to kill an animal, much less a human, would be a catastrophic mistake. Just wanted to get that out there.
That's Stan Strykovich.
Well, as I said earlier, I agree with the caller, and in the sense that you change the social dynamic of the campus. The place is no longer a place where people can feel secure. Now, I know that there are critics out there who say, well, we aren't secure given what's happened. Well, generally, you are secure, and those events are very rare, those tragic events. I just don't see any way that this kind of legislation will make us more safe. If anything, it'll exacerbate the situation, and the reality of violence on the college campus becomes, I think, more pronounced. So it's just, I think, bad public policy.
Thanks, Larry. Steve in Oxford is with us now. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I tend to believe with a lot of comments previous to mine that if somebody is going to take the time and has the responsibility, they're going to get proper training. We got to remember they're students, but number one, they're citizens, you know, and it's our right as a citizen to protect ourselves. These people are going to get the proper training. They're going to make the investment. It's not going to be every Tom, Dick, and Jerry that's going to want to carry a handgun. It's going to be the type of person that is concerned with their safety and the people around them. So, I feel that it's their right. They should be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, hold on. Dean Strykovich?
Well, the issue of a right to bear arms will be addressed this spring by the United States Supreme Court, but I'll give you that position that, yeah, people should have, under their current interpretation, the right to bear arms. But the fact of the matter is, even if you give people this right, the research indicates that less than 2 to 4% will actually exercise the right. So in other words, you'll have a small number of people on campus. I still think you don't want those people carrying concealed weapons. People do have a right to protect themselves, but the logic of the deterrent effect really isn't there because so few people will actually do it, will actually carry the weapon on campus concealed. So its deterrent effect is questionable at the present time, but it's a thorny issue. It's a sticky issue. The larger issue is how do we make campuses more secure and safe? And I just don't believe that the evidence and our review of this, and I've gone through a lot of this over the last year, really will make us more safe on our college campuses.
Yeah. An email from, who is this, from Terry in Milwaukee, who is for concealed carry and for students on college campuses being able to carry guns. And editing here, some persons' irrational fears and misinformation should not be controlling my life. If the truth were to be known, there are many people carrying guns right now. I mean, I want to react to that.
Well, that's probably true. There are people, but we're not doing it under the imprimatur of law. We're not saying that under law you have the right to do that. Yes, people are doing it illegally, and they should be handled in such a way that allows us to address their illegality. But that doesn't mean under the imprimatur or support of law we should condone it. Just because some people are breaking the law right now, it just doesn't make much sense to me. And again, I don't know one security professional, one campus police official, who in their wisdom and experience would suggest that this is a good idea. Not one.
Yeah. Joe in Turtle Lake, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. So just in response to the caller here a couple callers ago, I'm a high school principal up in Northwest Wisconsin, and I'm just curious. You know, I know it's a right for an adult, an 18-year-old, but if we're dealing with a school that deals with a lot of school violence, would that caller be in favor of allowing 18-year-olds in our public schools to carry weapons, concealed weapons? And again, I just there are some things that we got to draw the line, and allowing something like that to happen would just be not a wise idea.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, what about that proposal a while back that teachers in public schools should carry guns?
Yeah, that's I kind of look at that in the same manner. I mean, it's really not addressing the issue. It's avoiding the issue and why kids are or why young adults are being involved in crimes such as this. I guess that's where really I'd like to see the focus. And again, I'm a hunter. I'm an avid hunter. I've got many guns. I've got at home, and I'm very experienced with them. And I started using them at a young age when I was 12 years old with my father, but if somebody had recommended and given me the option, or my friends as 18-year-olds, to carry them on campus, in college, or in high school, I don't think I would have wanted to attend that school.
Yeah. Dean Strykovich.
You know, I think that latter statement hits it right on the head. Mm-hmm. Because as I said earlier, it changes the social dynamic of what happens in a school setting, whether it be a high school or a college campus, and that we can't afford to have happen on our college campuses. I think the unintended consequences of changing how people understand college is very, very important consideration in this whole matter.
Yeah. Arliss in Delafield says, if you make it easier for the good guys to get arms, you also make it easier for the bad guys to get arms. Want to just comment on that?
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact of the matter is, the larger issue is that we are a gun society. We have a lot of guns, about 300 million guns, 200 million legal, and about 100 million illegal. So they're out there, and there's no doubt about it. The question is, do you want, under the rubric or imprimatur of law, to support those activities of carrying concealed on campuses? And I think the answer is overwhelmingly no.
And Doug in Darlington, we're almost out of time, Doug.
Okay, well, I'll try to be brief. I think there's two separate issues to deal with. One is the campus security, which would be crime prevention, and then the other is the right to carry concealed, which is the right of personal protection. both occurrences are rare. Mass shootings like what happened at Virginia Tech is a rare occurrence. And also the number of people who carry concealed is rare. Excuse me. However, to say that because a mass shooting is rare, then therefore no one need have the right to protect themselves. I don't care if it only happens once in a decade. For the person who is sitting there in the desk or in the classroom, cowering in the corner, and having a vicious person point a firearm at their head, and they have no ability to defend themselves, you know, for that person and for their family and the loved ones that have been left behind.
We get it, and I'm sorry, he wants students to be able, apparently, to have concealed weapons, Dean Stojkovich.
Yes, and I understand the point of view, but I think at one level it's histrionic, and it doesn't really assist us in understanding the larger issue of campus safety.
Yeah, and we have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us, especially since you're feeling under the weather.
I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Stan Stojkovich, Dean of the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UW-Milwaukee. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for all of your calls. Hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.